Welcome to the Writer's Weekly Podcast, a forum geared toward the writing enthusiast and those who want to make money from their writing. I'm Brian Whitten, Managing Editor of Writer's Weekly, and I'll be your host along with Angela Hoy, the creator of Writer's Weekly and President and CEO of BookLocker.com, a full-service book publishing company. Whether you want to learn how to become a professional writer, how to find writing gigs, or even publish your own book, then you come to the right place. We'll be discussing all kinds of topics relating to the writing and publishing industries. Don't forget, you can also click over to writersweekly.com. There, you'll find not only thousands of articles about professional writing, you can also find current paying markets and job listings to help you boost your writing career and even your bottom line. But for now, let's get on to this episode of the Writers Weekly Podcast. Hello again and welcome back to another episode of the Writers Weekly Podcast. I'm Brian Whitten, your host, along with CEO and president of BookLocker.com and the creator of WritersWeekly.com, Angela Hoy.
I'm glad you're back.
I am too. Let's get right into home office. What was it? Was it Wednesday morning?
It was a Wednesday.
It was a Wednesday morning.
Yeah,
5 a.m.
Yeah.
I wake up to a text from my brother in Florida. Mom has fallen again.
And I can't get up.
Oh, boy. So my mother fell, broke her hip down in Florida. And
how old is she?
83. And so I wake up at 5 a.m. Basically, my brother's letting me and my sister, who lives up in Boston, know that mom fell, broke her hip. I'm on my way to the hospital. Fill you in later, you know. Later, so, you know, when somebody tells you that an elderly person fell and broke their hip, you're usually thinking, you know, maybe a hairline fracture in the pelvic bone or... you know, something like that. You know,
not your mom. She really
my mom doesn't do anything half ass.
Right. Yeah.
And they sent me copies of the X-rays. And my mother, when she fell, she actually snapped the top of her femur off where it meets
the pelvis.
In the socket joint.
Yeah.
Basically broke that ball off of her femur, and then the whole femur looks like kind of shifted upwards, which is natural because the muscles will pull that bone up.
That
if there's any,
so painful
it
to look at.
It was about made me
that
sick just to look
break,
at that.
Yeah.
So packed up all my stuff, drove the 11 hours back down to Florida, and spent basically the week there. Which is why we did not have an episode last week. But I'm back, and Mom's doing okay.
She's in rehab now.
Yeah. They were able to piece that bone back together and put screws in it and everything. And she amazingly enough, I think they said they gave it. It was like the day after they had given her morphine that morning at like 5:30 a.m. And then she had... nothing. No, I mean, she refused it for the rest of the time. She said
yeah.
she it wasn't hurting bad enough.
Good for
so, her. I would think if I had snapped my femur and you know in half, basically, I would be begging for morphine the whole time I was laid up there. But, yeah.
And while you were gone, I had to get rid of one of our roosters.
Oh yeah.
And then I later regretted it because I was wishing that you'd been there to catch the rooster, so I didn't have to wrestle the rooster. I wrote about it in WritersWeekly.com.
You didn't break your hip, but...
could have. I sustained a lot of scratches on my arm.
Told you to get somebody to help you.
Well, hey, it only took 12 tries. I got him.
You got him.
And he has been rehomed to a very nice lady. So, anyway, WritersWeekly.com, news from the home office link. I wrote about it, and it's kind of... I think it's funny.
Oh, it was funny watching you. You.
Oh, okay. I didn't post the video online.
You were kind enough to set your phone up and video yourself chasing this chicken around the enclosure. This rooster, who clearly was not interested in going with you.
That's true. Hey,
oh boy.
I did it.
You did it.
Yep.
You did it. All right. So that's home office for for this week. Everybody's falling down. Today we're going to be talking about the millions of emails that authors all over the world are receiving from overseas scammers that contain extremely accurate and believable yet entirely false praise for their books in an attempt to trick them into quote-unquote hiring these people to promote that book. And with the use of AI, this is getting pretty convincing.
Absolutely.
And it's scary.
You have to
be on guard. Be very careful.
Unfortunately, a lot of authors, you know, they wait until their later years to be able to write a book, have the time to do it, and the resources to do it. And those are the most vulnerable people, the elderly people that don't understand AI and they can't even fathom how this is happening.
Yeah.
So let's start off with three examples of how this works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I received an email. And it's about my emergency divorce handbook for women. The subject is thank you for the emergency divorce handbook for women.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Mrs. Hoy, I wanted to reach out and personally thank you for writing the emergency divorce handbook for women. Your book has been incredibly helpful and empowering resource during a very difficult chapter in my life. Blah, 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 blah. What stood out to me most was how practical and compassionate your advice is. You managed to combine clarity, realism, and empathy in a way that made me feel informed and supported, not overwhelmed. The way you broke down the legal, financial, and emotional aspects of divorce helped me feel less alone and more confident in navigating the process. I truly appreciate the time, care, and experience that went into creating this guide. It's clear that you wrote it with the real needs of women in mind, and for that, I'm incredibly grateful. Warm regards. Okay. Sounds legit, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like somebody, I really helped a woman,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, I actually sent that email to myself through ChatGPT. So, you know, sounds really legit and everything, and wow, it's really nice compliments, except I sent that email to myself. AI created that email within a nanosecond. Here's the instructions I gave it. Write an email complimenting Angela Hoy on her book, The Emergency Divorce Handbook for Women. Now, AI, as far as I know, doesn't have a copy of my book. But there's a description of my book, you know, descriptions all over the internet and all the retailer sites. And within a nanosecond, it grabbed that description and created that fake complimentary email. And if I was, you know, 83 like your mother and I received an email like that, I would really believe that somebody had actually read my book and that I'd helped that person.
Well, you don't just have to be somebody that's really old. I would think that if you're just somebody who's not up on current events...
Current tech events.
You know, well, yeah. But, you know, a lot of people just don't look into this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They're busy looking at their TikTok videos and their, you know, whatever it is they want to see on their screens, but they're not taking the time to look broadly and see what's going on in the world. And this stuff is all over the place.
And you wouldn't believe how many people still believe that everything on the internet is true.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah. Okay, so then I said to ChatGPT, write a complimentary email to Bill Henderson, the author of Cancer Free. That is our best-selling book of all time.
Mm-hmm.
We published that back in 2007. And here's what ChatGPT said to me. Certainly. Here's a respectful and sincere email you could send to Bill Henderson or his estate if you're writing in memoriam. Thank you. Since he passed away in 2016. So I just asked for them to write a letter to him about his book, and ChatGPT knows that he passed away and when. I didn't even mention that. Thank you for cancer-free and your life-saving work. Dear Mr. Henderson, I want to take now, everybody listen to how realistic this sounds, okay? I wanted to take a moment to sincerely thank you for writing Cancer Free, Your Guide to Gentle, Non-Toxic Healing. Your work has been a source of hope, clarity, and empowerment during what could have otherwise been an overwhelming and frightening time. The information you provided was not only eye-opening, but also deeply reassuring. You approached a complicated and emotional subject with compassion, courage, and thorough research, making it easier for readers like me to understand real alternative options in cancer care. Blah, 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 holistic, you know, everything like that. So, of course, that's all fake, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Yeah.
Then it says underneath, let me know if you'd like to personalize this further, such as mentioning how the book helped you or a loved one. So, put on my comedian hat, and I typed in, the book helped cure my grandmother's testicular cancer. Okay, I was trying to trick.
Thought you'd fool them, huh?
I was trying to trick it, yeah. And it responded, it sounds like you're making a humorous or satirical point. Since biologically women don't have testicles, a grandmother couldn't have testicular cancer. If you'd like to keep the email genuine and serious, I can help revise it with accurate, respectful wording. Then, if you'd like, then it gives me three different options of how I want them to answer. Sincere with a real compliment about the book. Playful or humorous with continuing with the absurd statement. And then something else entirely.
I'm surprised that ChatGPT actually corrected you and told you that women don't have testicles. Wow.
That's,
okay.
That's a whole nother episode.
That's a whole other, yeah, that's a whole other subject, but I'm shocked in this day and age that it actually
crossed my mind too.
Flat out,
yeah.
Told you women don't have testicles because there are some people in this world whose head would have exploded if they had read that. But.
Okay, this is our final example, I'll tell you, I'm going to give you the question after I give you the answer. Okay, this is from my best friend Cindy. She's a teacher. A heartfelt thank you to Sandy for crafting such a beautifully written and deeply resonant piece of work. Your storytelling is rich with emotion, authenticity, and insight. Each page feels like a conversation with someone who truly understands the human experience. Your ability to weave vulnerability... Do you need to pull out the violin for this?
If I had one.
Oh, add the background music later.
Okay.
Your ability to weave vulnerability with strength and clarity with nuance is a gift. Whether through character development, thematic depth, or the rhythm of your prose, your writing invites readers to reflect, connect, and grow. Okay, it seems... so specific, right?
Yeah.
Except it never mentions the book. And there's nothing specific about the book at all, but the
praise... No, there aren't any real details.
Is yeah. Very, very specific praise. So, go up a little bit. This is the question that my friend Cindy asked, and it's not ChatGPT, it's a different one. Mm-hmm. Write a positive review to an author named Sandy. No last name.
That's it.
No book title.
No name of the book. No nothing. Wow.
So that is how.
Now, if you were an author and you've been watching your book sales and you've been looking for those, you know, those clicks and those compliments on Facebook and social media and stuff, then this might get you to drop your guard.
Absolutely. It really makes you think, wow, that person really read my book.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've just asked it for specific compliments for authors.
Yeah.
This is the segue into these marketing scammers and book review scammers who are sending out probably millions of emails a minute every day automatically with using these programs
yep.
to trick these authors. What is underneath all that, those compliments, are them saying, hey, we can make your book a bestseller.
Yeah.
We know, look what I just wrote about your book. Your book can be a bestseller. Absolutely. Yep. And you just need to pay us this much money to make it happen.
Well, let's start by talking about scammers who are feeding on authors' egos, because that is a big target for them, is your ego. Mm-hmm. You're wanting people to recognize your book. So let's talk about that.
So it reminded me of like a used car salesman, you know, like when my brother went shopping for his first car when we were teenagers,
mm-hmm.
and they kept trying to talk him into buying a hot rod instead of a truck.
Yeah.
And they were saying, think of all the chicks you're going to attract, you know, with mm-hmm. this car. And it's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're complimenting you and saying, hey, this is really going to help you.
Yeah.
This
think
is
of all the people that are going to buy your book if we get up there and sing its praises. Yeah.
Right. And if you pay us to do it.
And if, well, you're going to pay us to do this. Yeah.
Right. And it's the same thing with the spammers and scammers contacting authors about all those other services too. Yeah. They always start out praising the author, praising the book. They know, I've authors email me, I know they read my book, but I don't see any sales in the last month on Amazon or through my publisher, but I know they read my book. I'm like, no, they didn't. They absolutely did not.
It reminds me of something you have said for years, and that is, if there's a company out there that is so successful in marketing books or anything, publishing books,
yeah,
they are not going to be sending out emails, mm-hmm. you know, cold emails trying to drum up business.
nor being on social media and following all these writing and author groups.
Yeah. They would be too busy cranking out all their work for all the authors that are banging down their door for their services, rather than running around having to send out 1,000, 1,000,000 emails trying to bring in more business. So yeah, that, you know, if somebody's reaching out to you out of the blue about how wonderful your book is and we can make it better, your antenna better go up.
Well, all the publishing scammers, they all offer marketing services too.
Yeah.
And what I tell authors is, if they're so good at marketing, why are they using spam to try to promote their own business?
Yeah.
And imagine if they're doing that to promote their own business, imagine what kind of damage they're going to do to your reputation when they're when they're supposedly marketing your book. In almost all these cases, they don't do any services at all. They're just doing this to hit you up for money, and then they're not going to do anything. They're going to disappear. And this morning, got an email from a woman, and she was going back and forth with one of these marketing scammers. I mean, the exact same thing we're talking about right now. And all of a sudden, she already signed the contract, and they were going to make her pay through Zelle, okay, where she couldn't get her money back. And right before she was going to send the money, she sent them one last email with a question, and it bounced. Somebody had reported them to Gmail as a scammer, and Gmail was taken down. Then she researched the company, ended up on Writers Weekly, and found the list and thanked me so much because she was just going to go looking for them and see if she could find a different email address because their approach was so, quote, genuine and made her feel so good about her book, and she just knew they were going to make it a New York Times bestseller. And thank God she... her research.
Let me circle that back to BookLocker. We've been in business well over 20 years. Mm-hmm. You know, we got thousands of books out there. We've never sent mass emails out to people saying, let us publish your book.
We've never sent one spam.
No.
We've been in business for more than 25 years. We have never spammed an author. We have never cold called an author.
No.
And we don't go into these, you know, Facebook groups and promote these. We don't even offer marketing services. We offer these, and we don't go into these Facebook groups and start complimenting authors about you know this, that, and the other about their book. Well, I go in and answer questions people have.
We are on social media and we are in Facebook groups, but we answer people's questions who bring them to us, and I guess for lack of a better term, we advertise the work that we do, but we never go directly to any person and say, oh, we read your book and we love it so much and you need to let us take it over and publish it. We never do that.
Well, we advertise our services on our own social media accounts.
When
I belong to a lot of writer and author groups, and I'm in there to answer their questions and help them. And when they say, you know, I need an illustrator. Should I use this person on Fiverr? I go and look. No, that person's clearly using AI.
No.
Here's a list of illustrators that we have vetted that we trust. You know, go hire one of them. If you need a cover designer, here's some samples of covers. This guy is located in Tennessee in the United States. He's not going to rip you off. And a lot of them are in there asking, what about such and such company, such and such company? And I just add them to our spreadsheet when I find out. Because literally, 99.9% of the companies that authors are asking me about are part of the Overseas Scam Consortium. And with what we're talking about today is just a whole nother level that they're taking it to.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, the scammers continue to evolve. You know, the old I'm a Nigerian prince just doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
So they have to constantly change up their game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you talk to them on the phone, they will use AI to make them sound, have an American accent. However, if you listen closely, it can't fix their syntax.
Yeah.
It's not doing that. And I've had several authors write to me and say, hey, I talked to John Smith. Half of them have last name of Smith, I tell you what. And I was talking to him. He had perfect English, but he didn't sound quite right. Some of his words were wrong and flipped around and everything. And that's another thing to listen for. However, if anybody approaches you, email, social media, or cold call, block them. Don't respond to them. Yeah. Do your own research online. And then if you're questioning somebody, contact me at Writers Weekly, and I'll look them up for you. And don't answer the phone. And if you answer the phone one time, they will never stop calling you.
Yeah.
They have gotten so desperate that some of them... So here's how they find you, okay? they go to Amazon, they look at new releases, or they look in a specific category, whatever, but usually new releases because they know they can probably find the author's current contact information. They get the author's name, they Google the author's name, they find, you know, mentions of the book with the author. Anybody can find anybody's address and phone number online. You just can. And they have gone so far as if they can't get hold of the author, because on this one website that I'm not going to mention here, it mentions you and all your relatives, who you live with, your extended relatives, all your relatives' email addresses, all their phone numbers. If they can't get a hold of the author, get the author to answer the phone, they will reach out to the author's relatives and say, please have Jane Doe contact me right away. It's extremely important about her book. Here's my name and phone number.
Sick.
It's pathetic.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah, of course.
Yep. Okay, so you know, where are they fooling the authors? You mentioned social media posts. They're running ads on social media.
Mm-hmm.
There are, I belong to this one group. It's run by a scammer. A lot of these author groups,
they're actually run by
scammers. And I don't want to sound racist, but look at the name of the person making the post. Sometimes they do it anonymously.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the name and you can't pronounce it, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
If your book is an English language book, if you can't pronounce the moderator or the poster's name, that's a huge red flag.
Yep.
One of the most common ones I see, it's this graphic. It says, authors, post your book covers. Okay. Has your book title and your name. Just like going to Amazon and looking up your book. They have the book title and the name. They're going to Google you. They're not only going to find you and try to contact you by email and cold call you, they're going to go to your social media account, because you posted your cover there, and they're going to contact you. They're going to private message you and try to hoodwink you into sending them money. And you're just inviting them when you respond to those posts. Every time I see an author's post your book covers post, I write in all caps, scammer, 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 scammer. So yeah, and people are really catching on.
Yeah.
Of course, any email if they spam you, spammers are scammers.
Yeah.
Okay, that's our mantra. Spammers are scammers. Do not do business with spammers under any circumstances whatsoever. We already talked about they can use the American accent and they sound legit. Mm-hmm. I should listen really close.
Very few legitimate companies actually use email, and any company of any size.
Gmail.
Does, I'm sorry. Gmail. They use their own domains, although that doesn't ensure that they're not a scammer either. There's plenty of scammers out there building their own websites and getting their own domain names, running through their own email. But if you're getting something from a Gmail account that says, you know, we're a publisher, we're a marketer or whatever, why are they having to use Gmail?
It's a scam.
You know.
I've seen these emails from the scammers. They use Gmail. But they've got legitimate, like, logo under their name in the email from a legitimate company.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, if you click reply, it's going to Gmail. And like you said, no legitimate company has their employees use Gmail email accounts. Mm-hmm. We call them the Gmail email scammers. Yep.
And many of the Gmail scammers, they don't have websites, or they claim that it's under construction. Mm-hmm. And that's probably some of your lower, your beginner scammers that haven't, you know, quite risen to the skill level to build their own websites and stuff. Mm-hmm. Just a tidbit here while we're on this subject. You know, they actually have schools in Nigeria.
Yes.
In Lagos, Nigeria.
What are they called?
There's a name for these scammers. They call themselves the Yahoo Boys.
Yahoo Boys, yeah.
And they have, and this has been going on for
years,
well over a decade.
Yeah.
And they got pictures of themselves, flat, you know, fanning money out, and their big fancy cars and their nice clothes and all this stuff. They're very proud of what they do, and they actually put on schools.
Mm-hmm.
They got their own. It's like a little college,
mm-hmm.
where you, as a young Nigerian kid, can come in and sit and learn how to scam people on the internet. They offer scripts,
yeah,
lists of names and email addresses and information, they instructions on how to do like the romance scam, the publisher scam, the this scam, that. And you can buy these packages of scamming deals, you know, of how to do, you know, the how-to stuff.
Yeah.
It's actually a big business over there in Nigeria. If y'all would like to hear a full episode on this, let us know, and then I'll go in and start digging around and getting all the nitty gritty and details. But
I watched a video of a guy who went to that school, and he wrote a book on how to do it, and he was selling the book online, and then there's a video of him holding up his book, but he's saying, "Don't buy my book. I feel really bad about what I did to people." And also over there, it's considered honorable to rip off people in the United States.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So it's a whole industry. It's not just, an idiot in his mom's basement in his underwear between playing video games. He's gone online scamming. To these guys, it's a full-time business.
Yes.
They've put their time and money into the education on how to scam you.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't fall for the first one, they'll pass your name to another person and another person.
Yeah, they work work together.
And you'd be surprised how many authors are now getting scammed more than once because they fell for it the first time, swore they'd never fall for it again. But they're so sophisticated now, the scammers are, that I heard from a woman the other day, "I can't believe I just got scammed for the third time in a row."
Yeah.
That's how good they are. Yeah.
So bringing it back to the subject here, again, you know, some of the scammers don't have websites, or they say it's under construction, and it makes sense because
I have a story.
Okay.
A woman wrote to me last week, one of these marketing scammers, who I'm like, "What's your website?" "Well, it's under construction." I said, "Well, like, you know, you're using Gmail. I mean, how do you know you're a real company?" She pulled up a certificate of incorporation from the state of Florida for some company and sent me a picture of that. You can get those online.
Sure.
I hope the scammers aren't listening to this and getting ideas. That's what she sent to me to prove that her business was... I mean, the name wasn't related to marketing or books or publishing or anything. She just pulled up this random articles of incorporation thing and sent it to me. And I'm like... And then I, you know, told her, "Hey, I know you're a scammer. I was just seeing how much information I could get out of you today." Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But this is, you know, basically the spamming. That's just a numbers game. Why bother building a website when you can just easily fool, you know, a bunch of people by sending out thousands of emails, and there are programs and bots that can do that for you. You just plug in buy a list of email addresses off the dark web, plug that into the database, and boom, it'll send your email out to thousands and thousands of people all at once.
You can even go on the AI program and mention, I'm not going to say how to do it. I know how to do it. You can say a specific thing, and it can create thousands of personalized email addresses that you can, emails, false compliment emails, and send those out. And you can send those out simultaneously. And it's just awful.
And some of them, when you ask for their websites, they'll say that it's private and exclusive and that you have to pay them to see it.
Yep, seen that a few times.
So you're already forking over money just to try to find out if this person's legitimate.
Yeah, they say, "Well, if you're serious about wanting us to help you with your book, you need to pay $20 and then we'll give you our website address." And people are doing it. It's just ridiculous.
If that ain't a red flag that kicks you in the ass, nothing's going to get your attention.
Yeah.
And this doesn't just apply to the Gmail email scammers, but they won't accept credit cards.
Yeah,
they'll want a check, they want an ACH bank transfer, or they want you to send money through an electronic service like Zelle. And there's a reason they will do that and don't take credit cards. You want to fill everyone in on that?
If you pay with a credit card, chances of getting your money back, if you file a claim early enough, when you start to realize you've been scammed, chances of getting your money back are very good. If you pay with a check, not only are you out that money, they have your bank account and routing information, your name, address, everything. Something that we were talking about the other day, when a lot of these scammers, they want your social security number, and they say they need it for tax purposes.
Mm-hmm.
No company overseas needs an American citizen social security number because they're not filing any kind of tax documentation whatsoever on American citizens. Mm-hmm. If they have all of that, they can file false tax returns in your name and get refunds. Mm-hmm. And guess who the IRS is coming after later?
Oh, of course.
Not them. Yeah. Now,
and with ACH, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, if you pay through like PayPal or Zelle, if they can collect enough money in a week from scam victims before they realize they've been scammed and shut down those accounts, then you'll never get your money back from those electronic payment processors. Yep. So that's how they...
And don't expect PayPal to help you.
No.
Because I'll give you a quick experience of mine. I had a PayPal. I no longer have a PayPal account. Mm-hmm. I had a personal PayPal account. That I would use to buy online stuff and whatever, because I thought it was nice, safe, secure, da-da-da-da-da, you know. And then one day I pull up my PayPal and I see where somebody drew $600-something dollars from me. You know, and there was some invoice for something. I don't even remember what the thing was.
I think she or he, it was probably a he, claimed... they needed a refund for something, and PayPal
or
actually
something like that. Yeah, it's
was
like
considering giving them the refund.
Yeah, yeah, and I immediately write to PayPal and I said, I have never done business with anybody of this name. Mm-hmm. I have never done business with this person. I do not owe them any money. I have never even I don't know who they are. I've not con. This is a scam. And I just kept getting back these almost seemed like automated responses. This seems legitimate to us. You know, this doesn't fall into our criteria for scam.
They were asking you for more information, but you figured out about to get ripped off.
Yeah.
So.
And so I very quickly just shut everything down. I closed that bank account that it was attached to.
First thing you did was you had a balance in PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
You transferred it to your bank account and then you shut down that bank account and got your money. Yeah. So that
because
woman wasn't able to get anything.
They were not going to listen to me tell them I have never done business with this person before. So all they did was just file some complaint with PayPal saying this guy owes me money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were going to take it and not listen to me.
Now, we have a business PayPal account, and PayPal treats their business customers much better than their personal customers. Let's just say that.
Clearly.
Also, if you do an ACH transfer... let's say you send them the $16,000 they asked for. And I tell you, sometimes it's a lot more than that, a whole lot more than that. Sometimes it's less than that. If you transfer the money to their bank account and 3 days later figure out getting ripped off or 3 weeks later, trust me, the bank account you transferred that to has already been closed.
Money.
They've already moved the money out of that account. You're never getting that back either.
No.
Yeah.
No. So if you're going to, paying with a credit card is the smartest thing to do if you're buying stuff. But again, don't give these people your credit card.
True.
Information, you know. Okay, book review scam. You got some examples of these book reviews?
I wanted to mention this specific one because it's not just book marketing, but there's also an influx of emails mentioning book reviews.
Book reviews.
We can get you 20 book reviews, 50 book reviews, 5,000 book reviews, legitimate book reviews. They'll be written so nice. This is after they've sent you all these compliments about your book, right?
Yeah.
So this woman, she emails me. She addresses it to one of our authors, but it comes to my email address because she's stupid. She messed up on that. So I'm pretending to be the author, of course.
Mm-hmm.
She says she's got a group of friends, and they're a book review group. And they review books for free for authors, but they handpick which books they're going to review. So all she's going to need is 20 copies of the book that she's later going to put up for sale on Amazon as a reseller, used copies, right? All she needs is 20 copies of the book. And so I start asking questions because I know, what questions to ask. And I said, well, what's your website? Oh, we don't have a website. Well, okay, what's your social media group? We don't have a social media. It's just 20 of my friends and I. You know, we all live in the same town and we get together and we review books together. And she kept saying, and I said, well, how much is it going to cost? Well, just send us 20 copies of the book. And I pushed and pushed and pushed. And she finally said, oh, okay, when you send the 20 copies, you need to send me a check. And it needs to be $400 because you need to, quote, tip each of the book reviewers $20 each. So, again, the first email she sent was written by AI. I knew it. I can spot them, within a second now. And so another author wrote to me last week, and she also got the, quote, tip thing from it's. I was thinking it was the same woman, but I think it's working, so they just keep spreading it around to other scammers. And some of these scammers have, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of websites, and it's all automated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if folks go into go to Writers Weekly and just start looking through our articles or do a search on our articles for reviews, book reviews, mm-hmm. you've been speaking against book reviews for years and years and years. Even legitimate quote unquote book reviews.
Yeah.
You know, they don't sell books, and basically all you're doing, you're paying somebody to say nice things about your book.
If it's a paid book review service. There are a few magazines and newspapers now that still run book reviews. They're very few and far between.
Yeah.
Even those don't sell books anymore.
Yeah.
They just don't work. And
they're certainly not soliciting people to send us your books for us to review them. They'll pick the books that they want to review.
Right. You know? I have an article, and I'll post a link to it under this episode on writersweekly.com/podcast that tells people how to get authentic comments and reviews of your book without paying for it.
So Angie is receiving dozens of emails each day now from authors asking about these scammers, which is a good thing.
It's a good thing because people are starting to catch on mm-hmm. that what's happening. I'm starting to receive more emails right now about these false praise marketing messages than I am people asking about the major scammers that we have featured on Writers Weekly, because we put up that 11 ways to
spot a scammer or figure out somebody is a scammer. Yeah.
We put up the 11 ways to spot a scammer on Writers Weekly. And again, we'll put a link to that under this episode as well. And the word has really gotten around. We've gotten thousands of emails from people mm-hmm. saying, thank you so much for, I found out this person's a scammer. This one's a scammer. Please add this one to your spreadsheet. That one to your spreadsheet. Again, we can't add them all to the website. We don't have, there's more than 2,000 on our spreadsheet.
We'd have to hire someone full time and we just can't.
Yeah. I have two and a half people working on it. Seriously. Yeah. And it's just too much. So we had to put up the 11 ways to spot a scammer. I still get emails every day from people saying, I read your article, but could you just double check this and double check that? And I'm happy to do that. But we're now getting more emails about the Gmail email scammers offering marketing services, publishing services, book review services than we are about people asking about specific companies, because they've just found an easier way. I mean, why put up 100 websites when you can just automate and create all these emails to these people with fake praise? So I've had a lot of authors write to me and say, man, look at what our authors, okay, mm-hmm. BookLocker authors, look what this person said about my book. Isn't this great? Should I hire them? And I'm like, oh, man, it's not real. It's not real. It's a scam. So when they contact me, I explain to them how it works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I save them thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm afraid that the vast majority of authors are not checking.
Yeah.
You know, clearly it's working because they're sending out so many emails.
Yeah.
Yeah. And however, on Facebook and other social media platforms, people are copying and pasting these scam emails and saying, hey, look what so-and-so said about my book. And all these people underneath are commenting, it's a scam. You're about to get ripped off. It's a scam. Yeah. They're contacting I saw a guy wrote today. He posted, he said, they are contacting thousands of authors every single day, and it's the exact same email you got. It's just, you know, different author name and different book cover.
Well, and it's good that people are reaching out to us and alerting us to these things. That's how we are able to keep current on what because this wasn't a thing 2 months ago.
Right.
We weren't seeing this.
This is a new thing.
Yeah, this is a new thing. So, and this will go on for a while until not enough people bite the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to change it up again, and we're going to start hearing from people. Hey, I got this now, you know. So it's a good little system we've put together here.
Hey, and if anybody wants me to prove how this works with their book, go to writersweekly.com, click on Contact Us, give me your name and the name of your book, and I will email you back.
I'll send you a wonderful,
beautifully written, amazing, complimentary, several paragraph email that's going to sound just awesome, and it'll take me a nanosecond to create it.
All right. So how can authors protect themselves from these scams?
Okay. Well, I'm going to repeat it one more time, and I'll probably repeat it next week and the week after. Don't do business with anybody using a Gmail email address. If you're an author using Gmail, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a marketing company, book review company, publishing company, cover design, whatever. No, but none of those use Gmail. Okay.
Yeah.
If somebody sends you an email that you don't know unsolicited, delete it. Do not respond. If you respond, they will not stop.
Mm-hmm.
If they call you on the phone, first of all, if a number pops up on your phone and you don't know it, don't answer your phone.
I don't even answer those.
Come on. I mean, that's just common sense. 2025 common sense. And if they leave a voicemail, don't call them back. Don't text them. Nothing. Oh, they're also texting authors.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't respond to those texts. In fact, click on the button on your phone to report them.
Yeah.
Okay. And if anybody approaches you on social media, whether in a group or through private message, ignore them, block them. Just
okay.
You do your own shopping for a service, mm-hmm. get recommendations, real ones. Just contact me. Okay. Just contact me. I'm happy to help out. So, and I'll you steering, I'll steer you away from the scammers and steer you towards somebody who's actually located in the United States. We have a list of publishers that are located in the United States. And if something goes awry, you can sue them.
Yeah, there
you can't
go.
Sue anybody in Nigeria. Well, you could fly over there if you want. Never getting your money back anyway. So,
all right, let's wrap this up. You got any final words for us?
Yeah. People are wondering how. First of all, they assume the person read their book. How did they get a copy of my manuscript? Okay. Number one, they don't have a copy of your manuscript.
Okay.
If they do, however, they probably downloaded it from one of those
pirate sites.
Pirate ebook sites. These websites that are overseas that allow people to upload copies of ebooks they've purchased.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, we ran an article about a class action against one of these AI companies who went to LibGen, one of those pirate ebook websites, and downloaded, they think, 500,000 books.
Wow.
And there's a class action lawsuit. Again, I'll post a link to it under this episode, what we wrote about it. It tells you how to find out if your book was involved and what you need to do to file a claim. And they're saying right now, if it is 500,000 books, they expect authors to get $3,000 per work, per title.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. And that is a thing with that. We were writing about that several years ago, that there are people out there who flat out believe that nobody should have to pay for intellectual property. And they mm-hmm. are fighting for the quote unquote right, I guess, to take every piece of work any author has ever done and just put it up on a free website that you can just download whoever's book you want mm-hmm. for free without paying anything.
And if you're listening to this podcast and you're one of those people and you like to get free stuff, I can tell you that most of those free ebook sites, they don't actually have ebooks at all.
Mm.
You go there, you click on a book you want to buy, you click to download, and guess what? You got a brand spanking new virus.
Something, yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
It's a virus.
They're scammers,
it's a virus
too.
Site.
A lot of them are scammers, too.
And they're going to go through your computer, and they're going to find all your credit cards and your Social Security number and your last tax return and everything else. So do not use free ebook download sites, because most of them are virus sites.
Talk to anybody that's been on what are called torrent sites, which are Pirate Bay was the big one, and it got shut down. But ask them; those things are filled with viruses. People are always having to scan their computers and put up all kinds of blockers just to keep the viruses out of the computer while they're trying to download free movies or free video games or free, which again, it's all copyrighted stuff. You're not supposed to be doing that, but anyway.
And finally, be extremely careful who you send your manuscript to. If you hire one of these fake publishing scammers overseas, they're going to take your money and not do anything. They're not going to republish your book. They're probably not going to publish a version of your book and keep the money because it's too much trouble for them. But they darn well could upload your files to the AI systems and to these free ebook torrent websites.
Mm-hmm.
And
that might make it very hard for you to copyright it later.
Exactly. What we're finding is the AI programs are, even people that are using AI in an innocent way, like Grammarly.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this before. Grammarly has a clause in their contract, and you have to opt out of that. Now, how many of you use Grammarly who have never read their contract? I'm thinking pretty much all of you. Yeah. Mm. And it says you have to specifically opt out if you don't want them to use your text to train their program.
Yep.
Now, people are using this to write emails. It's an app that you download to your computer. Yep. Pops up in every program. spreadsheets, Microsoft Word, writing your book, PDF
That's
files,
That's why I got
email,
rid of it. I was sick of it popping up every time I started typing anything anywhere. Grammarly pops up. I don't want you here right now. Yeah. Go away.
Right. So
I finally
just
got rid of it.
If you're using it to write your book and you didn't opt out of that for it training their system, later when you send your book to Macmillan or, you know, St. Martin's Press or some other big publisher, we even check at manuscripts now for AI.
We do.
They run all those through AI detectors now, and if it shows up as 77%, 95%, even 65% AI generated, even if you didn't use AI to write your book, you're going to get a rejection letter.
Yeah.
So that's the final word of the day. Do not use AI to write your book under any circumstances.
All right. And if you have a non-AI generated book you want published, come to BookLocker.com. Been in business over 20 years. Got an excellent reputation in the industry.
We're in our 26th year.
Yeah. So much easier just say that, you know, over 20, because then I don't have to worry about how many. But okay, 26th year. We're old farts.
And we're located in the United States, and we always have been.
That's
and
it.
We always will be. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I ain't going nowhere.
Me neither.
So what country would I want to go to anyway? Anyway, booklocker.com, check it out. We got a contact link there. When you send us an email telling us what you what you know, asking questions, telling us what you want, you're going to be talking to Angela herself.
Yeah.
Directly to her email.
Yep.
Not a bot. And she speaks English.
Fluently. With perfect pronunciation.
That's right. Also, time's running out. If you want that book out before Christmas, you need to hustle. In fact, are we past that deadline now? You can still get your book in. We can still get it out before Christmas. You got
to
hurry.
November 1st is when we really need to get your book on the market to take advantage of book sales. But we do have a rush program as well. If maybe it's November 15th and you do the rush, even if it's not quite ready yet, go to the website and contact me so I can at least while you're finishing up with your editing or writing or whatever you're finalizing your stuff, maybe we can get started on the cover design.
That's it.
During that process and the book trailer and register for the copyright and everything.
So quit shopping around. They're all scammers anyway. Come to booklocker.com. Get your book out for Christmas. All right.
That's right.
Y'all, thank you very much for joining us yet again on another episode of the Writers Weekly Podcast. We will be back again with some more great stuff.
Next week, if nobody breaks a bone or something.
Well, if nobody falls off the roof or breaks their hip or anything like that.
Attacked by a rooster. Yeah.
Gets attacked by a rooster.
See y'all next time.
All right, y'all take care. Bye.